chapter 4, verse 12 to 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, we confess that we live busy lives and we have busy heads. There's lots of things going on, probably right now in our minds. And we ask that you would just help us to put them to one side, not to be distracted by busyness, but to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him, from his word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Here we go. Be a moth. That's the aim for all of us this morning. It would be great if we could end up being like moths. Every one of us, not just me, but you, the person sitting next to you, to all be like moths. You know how it is on a summer's evening when you've got your windows open and it goes dark outside and you've got your lights on and suddenly your room is filled with insects. You've got moths fluttering around the light. The moths, what do? They are attracted to the light. So they fly from the darkness to the light. And God's word this morning tells us to be moths. It tells us to be those who go from darkness to light. Fly from darkness to the light. Look at verse 16. This is our key verse. Verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The dawning of a great light. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light for those living in death darkness. Jesus, the light who chases the shadows away. Jesus, the one who on his darkest day, on his death day, was bringing life and light to those who are in gloom. Sometimes moths fly into a light and it causes their death. But as we fly to the light, it's our source of life. So that's our big thing this morning. I want us to be like moths. Be a moth. Fly from the darkness into the light. And we're going to look at what the darkness is and then what the light is. So first, darkness is the darkness of death. There's a town in Norway called Longyearbyen. I'm pretty sure I said that right. Longyearbyen. Longyearbyen. It's a town that's so far north that for 3 months of the year, the sun never comes up. It's completely pitch black. It's night all day. 3 months of darkness and gloom. There's a lady there called Marianne, and she says this. She says, the darkness is very hard. It can be really depressing. The people of Longyearbyen have to live in darkness. And that's what it was like for Zebulun and Naphtali. Look at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. John's imprisonment was a sign of an official crackdown on the kind of message that he was teaching. And so Jesus beats a tactical retreat. Verse 13, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. The land of Israel had been portioned off into different sections for the different tribes. And this was the northern part of Israel. Capernaum was a small town on the shores of Lake Galilee. And now this would be his base. And it isn't just a random movement. It's not like he just went on Zoopla and picked a random house. Look at verse 14. This was to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Matthew wants us to know for sure that this is all part of the plan. It's not random. It's all part of this big plan for God to gather and to grow his royal family. Verse 15. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. See, just like that town in Norway, this northern region of Israel has been living in darkness. Not because it was actually dark, it wasn't a literal darkness, but this had been a time of great gloom and shadow for the people. Why? Why do you think that was? Well, to find out, we need to go back to the original quote. You'll notice that it is a quote. Verse 15 and 16 is a quote. If you get to the end of verse 16, you can see the little F there. You might not know what that means in the Bible. Well, what it means is if you look down to the bottom of the page, you'll see a little F there as well. And it tells you where that quote is from. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. So can you flick back with me to page 694? Flick back to page 694. Because this is where that quote is from. And we're actually going to start in chapter 8, verse 20. Page 694, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah says, let's start in verse 19, shall we? I'm feeling generous. Let's start in verse 19. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their gods? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. You see, the reason Israel was in darkness is because they were listening to the wrong voices and not listening to the right voice. Do you see the point in verse 19? When they needed help, they were turning to the spirit world rather than to God's word. They refused to listen to what God had said to them through the law and through the prophets. And did you notice that last phrase in verse 20? If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. No word, no light. The Israelites had refused to listen to God's word, and God's word is how he reveals himself to his people. So what they were really doing was refusing God. That's the reason for the darkness. That's the source of the gloom. Refusing God's word leads to a dark now and a dark later. And we see that in the next couple of verses. So verse 21, distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged. And, looking upwards, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. And they will be thrust into utter darkness. Isaiah is predicting the attack of Assyria. Assyria were God's instrument to bring judgment on his people who weren't listening to him. And Zebulun and Naphtali, do you remember where they were? They were the northern tribes of Israel, and that's the direction that Assyria came from when they attacked. So Zebulun and Naphtali were the first to feel the effects of ignoring God's word. They were the first to experience the consequences of refusing God. They were the first to feel this darkness and this gloom as it closed in. They felt the sharp edge of the Assyrian sword. Their place was devastated. Their people were taken away. It was a dark day. A day where it felt like God wasn't there at all. These are the consequences when God is silent. This is what happens when we refuse to listen. A dark now and a dark later. See that last phrase in verse 22? It says they will be thrust into utter darkness. It's language that Jesus picks up to talk about hell. Three times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus describes judgment as being thrown out into darkness. It's a sober reminder that ignoring God's word won't just lead to difficulties in this life, but there are eternal consequences. Hell is a place away from the favorable face of God. Those suffering there know nothing of his loving presence and hear nothing of his gracious word. It's a place of suffering with no release, darkness with no light. And that's why this darkness is the darkness of death. You see, the Bible describes life as knowing God. And so refusing to listen to God as he reveals himself to us in his word, well, that's not really truly living. Life without God is not life at all. It's a life that does not enjoy the fullness we were designed to enjoy. And it's a life that ultimately ends in the eternal death away from the life-giving God. And so Zebulun and Naphtali, these two areas of Israel, they were living in the shadow of death. They were still experiencing the dark hangover of exile and still walking down the dark alley of ignoring God's word. But it's not just them. And the shocking thing is, this is me. And this is you. The Bible explains that all of us start life on the dark side. We hate light and we love darkness. We refuse to listen to God. We don't want to walk down with the light of the world. Rather, we enjoy the deeds of darkness. That's what the Bible describes sin as. We don't belong in God's royal family. We belong in what the Bible describes as the kingdom of darkness. And even when we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, even then, through faith in Jesus, that's the transfer that's happened if you're trusting him this morning. But even as those in the kingdom of light, isn't it true that we still struggle? We still want to walk in darkness? We're like moths in reverse. We're attracted to what is dark. We hate the light. Even as believers in Jesus, we have to stop ourselves thinking back to past sins and kind of enjoying them again. Do you ever do that? Think back to what you did back then, and you know it was wrong, but it's quite nice to think about. We have to guard our hearts against jealousy as we look across to the easy life that people walking in darkness have, the fun life. As those who have come into the light, we still have this daily battle with our dark hearts, which run away from the light of God's word. Do you ever find that when you read something in God's word, you do everything you can to then ignore it? You carry on doing the things that you know you shouldn't be doing, and you fail to do the things that you know you should be doing. That's living in darkness. If I was a moth, I would be attracted to the pure light of God's word. It would be my source of life, my source of comfort. And this is something that I've lived this week. It was a tough few days this week. By God's grace, it was nothing too dramatic. But, you know, it was just one of those weeks where it just felt like one thing after another, after another, after another. And you know when you kind of get to the end of the day and you just feel like you've been hit by a ton of bricks and you just don't really know how you're going to carry on. It was that kind of week. And I found myself in this situation walking in darkness, ignoring the light of God's word, even though I was studying this passage. I found myself doing this. So, for example, I know full well that God's word commands me not to be anxious about anything and to bring everything to him in thankful prayer. But I kind of felt this week like I had to worry as well. I know he tells me in his word that his sovereign plan, he's in control of all things and he's working them for the good of those who love him. But this week I kind of disagreed with his plan. I know he says in his word that he's the one that is in control, it's not me, and that's okay. But it didn't feel okay. And I was really surprised to see this week. I was really surprised to see my dark heart battling against the light. And guess what? When I ignored the light, it felt like gloom and darkness. And when I opened up the Psalms eventually, and when I poured out my heart to God, it was like someone had switched the light on. The circumstances hadn't changed, but my focus had. Friends, what an awesome privilege it is to have the Word of God so easily available to us. God's silence is a sign of his judgment. But every time you crack open your Bible, it's a sign of his grace and his favor. 500 years ago, the Reformation began. It was a movement which brought true Christianity, true Bible Christianity, back to the forefront in Europe. There was a guy called William Tyndale who devoted his life and eventually gave up his life so that he could translate the Bible into English, so that people in England could read the Bible in a language they could understand. Now, I understand that for many of us, English is not our first language. But did you know that there are 1.5 billion people across the world today who still do not have the Bible, the whole Bible, in their language, in their first language? I think all of us here do. And what an awesome privilege that is. Please don't leave the words of life on your shelf. Please don't leave the source of light hidden in a drawer. That would be like walking down a dark alley and living in darkness, the darkness of death. And this was a dark alley that our Lord Jesus did not avoid. The one who moved house into the land of shadow eventually knew the fingers of death wrapped around him. As Jesus died on the cross, we read this: from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Silence from God blackens the sky. The light of the world knew the darkness of death that I deserve for my refusal to listen to his word. He took that in my place and in the place of everyone who trusts in him. It was a dark day. But on that darkest of days, the light of life shone. So that leads us to the second thing: the darkness of death, but the light of life. Flick back now to Matthew chapter 4, page 968. Page 968, everyone there? Everyone with me? That's good. Three people are still with me. That's a wonderful thing. Matthew chapter 4. The darkness of death. That's where Zebulun and Naphtali found themselves. That's where we naturally find ourselves. It's darkness that comes from refusing God's word, but Jesus is the one who brings light into the darkness. God's people had ignored God's word, but God was not done with them. What's the answer to darkness? Light. What's the answer to a shadow? A lamp. The dark night is followed by a bright dawn. That lady, Marianne, who lives in that town in Norway, she says this: it feels good when the light starts to come back. I'm sure it does. And that's what happened for Zebulun and Naphtali. Just as at creation, God spoke light into darkness, so for those still feeling the dark shadow of silence from God, now God speaks. Verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Light brings life. That's a simple thing that you learn at school. Have you learned that yet, Tyler, at school? Light brings life. You know, like plants and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, light brings life. I don't know if you've been watching Blue Planet. Anyone watching Blue Planet 2? Blue Planet 2? Jakob is, that's good. Janet is, that's good. Okay, it's a David Attenborough documentary on BBC about the oceans, Blue Planet, okay? And one of the episodes was about the deep sea. So stuff that goes on way below the surface. And they had these special submarines that they took down with lights and with cameras to go really, really deep, miles below the surface, into what was known as the midnight zone. Because in this part of the sea, none of the sunlight reaches this part of the sea. And remarkably, there is abundant life in this part of the ocean, but most of it depends on food falling down from the higher regions of the sea where there is light. As a general rule, you need light for life. Light brings life. And so what amazing news it is that Jesus, the light, was moving house into the shadow of death. Do you know what? I love this about Jesus. He is the royal son. A royal son can live wherever you want. I read an article this week about the Saudi princes and the prison that they're living in now. You know, you might remember a few weeks ago in Saudi Arabia, there was this crackdown against corruption, and a load of the Saudi elites, including some of the princes, were arrested and put in prison. And now they've gone inside the prison to see what it was like. Do you know what it is? It's a Ritz-Carlton hotel, which has massive marble pillars. Everything is gold. You've got swimming pools, you've got gyms, you've got a bowling alley, you've got restaurants. It is a five-star luxurious palatial hotel. And that's where they're staying for prison. It doesn't seem very fair. But that's not Jesus. Jesus moves into a broken area. He moves into a part of town that people wanted to move out of. He moves into the place which was hurting and despised. The exile ender moves into the place where the exile began. He makes it the base of his operations for the rest of his ministry. What a privilege Capernaum had. It was Jesus' hometown. Imagine if Edmonton was Jesus' hometown. That would be cool. Who have we got? We've got Bruce Forsyth, I think, was it? Was Bruce Forsyth? I can't even say his name. Bruce Forsyth. Okay, we have Bruce Forsyth. But Capernaum had Jesus. Jesus was the one that they got to see up close and personal. They had a close-up view of the light. They saw his power displayed in his miracles, such as the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. They heard him preach, such as verse 17. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." A region that had refused God's word and suffered the dark consequences now has the awesome privilege of seeing the word made flesh up close and personal. Through his life and his works, they saw light. They heard God speak. They saw God in action. And doesn't that tell you something about the grace of our Lord Jesus? To those who are in dark unbelief, Jesus turns the light on. Isn't that our story? Those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus, it's his work in us. It wasn't that we had some kind of light bulb moment. It wasn't that we suddenly worked out how we were going to get right with God. We were like those fish swimming around in the deep sea in darkness and you don't know any different. When God would speak to us, what would we do? We would plug our ears. We would refuse to listen. When we found ourselves in difficult times, we would consult other voices. We deserve nothing short of being thrust into utter darkness. But then Jesus came and he turned the light on. And as we came face to face with him in God's word, it was God who made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It's his work in us. And so if you're sat here this morning and you're still refusing God's word, and by the way, hearing God's word is not enough. Hearing God's message and even agreeing with what you hear, that's pointless unless it leads to action. It's pointless unless it causes change. And so if you've never come to the light of the world before, or if you have, but now you're still walking in darkness, then can I say this is really good news, because Jesus, in his kindness, is the one who brings light to darkness. He brings life to where there is death. You know, I love the little details that the gospel writers drop in to their accounts. Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus dies in darkness. But 3 days later, listen to the detail. Matthew 28, verse 1. This is what happened 3 days later. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and they found it empty. Did you notice that detail? The word dawn. That word literally means as it grew light. Isn't that wonderful? On the third day, light dawned and life blossomed. An angel clothed in light declared three life-giving words. He has risen. In Jesus' death and resurrection, that's what makes him the light of the world. He is God's revelation to his people and God's salvation for his people. And so my simple invitation for us this morning is be a moth. Come to the light. You see, there is a danger for us. The danger is we end up like Capernaum. Because later on in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 11, Jesus ends up saying, "Woe to you, Capernaum." Why? Because even though Jesus had lived there, they still took no notice of him. Even though light had dawned in their darkness, they closed their eyes and they plugged their ears. And for every one of us who sat here this morning, through God's life-giving word, we have seen the light of Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing, by the way? Isn't that a cool thing? That as we come to church, as we open up God's word, and as we hear it preached, what that means is that every one of us here this morning has heard the light of God's word. We have seen the light of Jesus as it's been displayed. It's almost like this Bible here is a lamp, and from it you've been bathed in light. And so the question is, how are you going to respond to that light? And I want to invite each of you not to be like Capernaum, but to be a moth. Come to the light. Maybe for some of us that will be for the first time. Perhaps as you think about that, you're scared to come too close to the light because then your darkness might be revealed. It will, but in a good way. Jesus is the one who died on the cross in the place of all who trust in him so that their darkness could be placed on him and forgiven, so that he could blow that darkness away with his light. Well, perhaps you're a youngster. Perhaps you're one of the young ones and you really come because you do enjoy it, but basically it's because your parents come. And you probably do kind of agree with what you hear and you think you believe it, but you've never actually stopped and asked Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, this is a great time, an important time, to come to the light and know his life. And if you do that, then please do talk to one of your parents afterwards. Or perhaps for others of us, you've never come to Jesus because, well, you're just not sure about whether it's true, or you're not sure how you would live it out. You don't know what it would mean to be a Christian. Maybe you don't mind coming here occasionally because, you know, it's a nice community, but really it's not the teaching that you're here for. Well, if that's you, then I need to encourage you again to remind you of how dangerous it is to walk in darkness. It might be that you quite like the dark. Maybe you like being able to do your own thing and nobody really knows about it. Maybe the idea of ignoring God doesn't seem like a big deal. But silence from God is judgment. Refusing his word ends in the place of utter darkness. The darkness of death. And so if you haven't done so, then please come to the light. Come to Jesus this morning. Because of his death and his resurrection, you can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And if you are part of God's royal family this morning, can I just encourage you to keep coming to the light? Buzz around the light like a moth. The Bible calls us, as children of light, to walk in the light. The image is of one of a narrow path, like maybe this path down the middle of the chairs. This path is well lit, and surrounding it is darkness. And so the safe thing to do, the best thing to do, is to stick on the path. Straying from the path puts you in dangerous territory. And as followers of Jesus, this should be our aim, by his strength, to walk in line with his word. The Bible, a word that a psalmist describes as a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. To walk in the light means to walk in obedience to God as he reveals himself to us. Perhaps for some of us this morning, there are particular areas where we've strayed off the path into darkness, and it's time for us to come back to the light again. If I'm honest, moths are not my favourite animals. I'm actually a bit scared of them. They're just so fluttery. But what I would love this morning, despite that, is I would love for this room to be filled with moths. I'd love us all to be fluttering towards the light, going from darkness to the light of the world. That's probably what I should do, Les. But my prayer for you, Les, along with everyone else, is that you come to the light, that you come to Jesus. Because that is the most important thing that we could do today. Jesus is this great light dawning in a dark world. And so let me invite you again. Come to the light. Let's do that now as we pray, shall we? Father in heaven, We praise and thank you for Jesus, the light of the world. We thank you that Jesus did not stay in the place of unapproachable light, but came down into the darkness of this world. We thank you that he made a home in the land of the shadow of death. We praise you that he brought light and life to those in the darkness of death. Help us, Lord, to come to the light this morning. Help us to keep coming to Jesus, the light, and keep walking in the light of his word. And we pray it so that our light might shine to others around us in this community. Would you make us lights to this dark community for Jesus' sake? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to stand and sing together.